Bard College at Simon's Rock supports WHYY. Do you know students who are ready to start college early? Bard College at Simon's Rock is specifically designed for bright, highly motivated students ready to enter college after the 10th or 11th grade. Simon's Rock takes younger students seriously and offers a challenging program in the liberal arts and sciences, taught exclusively in small seminars by supportive, highly trained professors. Now accepting applications for fall enrollment. More about Bard College at Simon's Rock, the early college, at simons-rock.edu.
I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Ahead this evening, the Republican Party's presidential hopefuls set their sights on Philadelphia. First, Philadelphia City Council President Darrell Clark's plan to build 1,000 affordable apartments on vacant land across the city hits a snag. As WHYY's Bobby Allen reports, a disagreement between federal officials and the city's building trades union is stalling the plan.
Last year, a historic announcement was made. 14 unions agreed to cut their costs by 20% to build 1,000 affordable apartments. So Philadelphia sent an application to the regional office of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. It was seeking approval of the project so that developers could get federal assistance to help keep rents low. The response sounded something like this, read here by HUD's Nikki Edwards.
HUD cannot authorize the use of the project labor agreement's wage rates on HUD-assisted construction projects since these negotiated rates are lower than the required Davis-Bacon prevailing wage rates.
In other words, the discounted deal the unions agreed to is below the federal guidelines for federally subsidized projects. Mark Levin is upset. He's a nonprofit housing lawyer who's helping plan Clark's project.
It's probably one of the biggest cost savings of those that you know we've identified.
He says it won't make or break the housing initiative, but
I hope that it gets resolved and that it actually happens.
Even the president of Philly's AFL-CIO, Pat Iding, attempted to salvage the deal.
I tried myself through people I knew in the Department of Labor to see if there was something, anything at all that we could do. You know, slant it this way, slant it that way, but get it approved. And it kept coming back to me that, you know, you couldn't do that.
Though Clark's office is now appealing the decision, Pat Galepsy of the Building Trades Association says, meh, just give it time.
We'll try to find a way around the bureaucrats. That's what I'm saying.
For WHYY News, I'm Bobby Allen.
For the first time in Philadelphia, Super PAC spent big money on this year's mayoral primary. It's old news that super PACs, also known as independent expenditure groups, raise and spend large chunks of cash on national and statewide elections. But as WHYY's Katie Culinary reports, 5 years after the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, they're starting to show up in local races as well.
Bill Hires is not a fan of super PACs. Still, the star campaign consultant behind Mayor Nutter's 2007 win recently found himself leading such a group, backing mayoral candidate Jim Kenney.
I didn't want to, honestly, but the fact of the matter is politics has changed. And whether you like it or not, and I'm not somebody who loves it, you know, more money is being spent outside campaigns than inside campaigns commonly.
How much are we talking? In Philadelphia's mayoral primary, three super PACs spent $7.5 million as of the most recent filings. That's twice as much as all six Democratic candidates spent combined. That number will go up when we see the next round of campaign finance reports later this week. But let's get back to Bill Hires, the guy who says he doesn't like super PACs. While they can raise and spend as much money as they want, here's the thing about independent expenditures. They can't coordinate directly with the candidates or their campaigns. That makes it harder to put out effective TV ads, which Hires says is still the number one thing that moves voters to the polls.
We had to put out positive Kenny ads, and we had to understand what his message was and put it out for him, you know, without his approval, which is a nerve-wracking thing because we wanted him to win.
Two super PACs funded mostly by labor unions spent more than $2 million backing Kenny, who did win the Democratic primary. But the biggest spender in the race by far was a super PAC called American Cities. The group was funded by three wealthy financial executives from the Philly suburbs who spent more than $5 million to support State Senator Anthony Williams. Williams lost. Badly. The group's attorney, Mark Alderman, says American Cities is an ideological PAC, devoted not just to a candidate, but also to a cause, expanding charter schools and vouchers.
the amount of money that went into this race was driven by the commitment to advocate for the kids of Philadelphia who are stuck in violent failing schools. And the advocacy was every bit as much about school choice and those kids as it was about Senator Williams and his campaign.
One reason super PACs came to play in Philadelphia is the city's campaign finance laws, which limit contributions from individual donors to $2,900. A bigger reason, Alderman says, is that ever since the Supreme Court ruled in 2010 that corporations have free speech rights, super PACs have become a powerful tool. Critics of super PACs say they allow special interests to essentially buy elections. But if groups like American Cities could spend more than $5 million and still lose, should we really care? Yes, says Edwin Bender, executive director of the National Institute on Money in State Politics. Bender says eventually these groups are going to get it right and start winning elections. Meanwhile, he's starting to see more independent expenditures on the local level.
I ran across an example the other day in passing of a school board candidate who thought he needed a super PAC.
Remember, most of the money that was spent on Philadelphia's mayoral primary came from super PACs. That's posing new challenges for Philadelphia's ethics board, which is charged with enforcing that no coordination rule. Shane Creamer is the board's executive director.
It's challenging for us to find evidence of coordination. It's not like other rules that we administer and enforce, like the contribution limits, where you can independently verify through bank records whether or not there's been an excess contribution.
So Creamer's staff ends up doing a lot of Googling to find the sources of videos and images super PACs used in their TV ads to make sure they're from independent sources and didn't illegally come from campaigns. Meanwhile, Philadelphia City Council recently passed a bill that would require super PACs to disclose their spending more often in future elections. It's a sign super PACs are here to stay. That means more work for the ethics board, but Creamer says it's worth it.
As long as they're playing by the rules, and we're going to look very carefully at that line of coordination, and if anybody steps over that line, we'll be there to enforce the contribution limits.
Katie Culinary, WHYY News.
Taking a look at this evening's headlines, Governor Tom Wolf and legislative leaders continue to try to come to accord over Pennsylvania's unfinished budget with 2 weeks left before the state's new fiscal year gets underway. Senate President Pro Tem Joe Scarnati says the focus of today's meeting was liquor privatization. House Democratic Whip Mike Hanna warns that Governor Wolf will not sign a deal that fails to devote significantly more money for public schools. The Pennsylvania House today approved a bill exempting more residents from a state law requiring background checks for those who work with children. State representatives voted overwhelmingly today in favor of the proposal. It limits the checks for volunteers and employees at schools, as well as child care facilities and similar places to those who have direct and routine interaction with children. The more vigorous checks were enacted last year as part of the legislature's response to the Jerry Sandusky and clergy child sexual abuse scandals. Gray skies, 79 degrees on Independence Mall. It's 6:14. This evening's forecast, increasingly cloudy skies, a chance of showers overnight, low 66 degrees. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of rain, maybe a thunderstorm, high 78. Friday, partly sunny, high 86 degrees. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY.
Temple University proudly supports WHYY and its commitment to education with 17 schools and colleges and more than 400 programs. Temple University's Hire an Owl campaign is committed to connecting leading companies and organizations with qualified Temple graduates and students seeking meaningful career opportunities. More information is available online at temple.edu/takecharge. Temple University proudly supports WHYY.
Guided by Quaker values, Folkways at Gwynedd, a continuing care retirement community for active adults 65 and over since 1967, supports WHYY. Folkways provides residents with proven financial stability, a comprehensive health care program, and a community where friendship, caring, dignity, and respect are a way of life. 1 and 2 bedroom apartments, highlighting their newest design features, are now available. To experience life at Folkways and to arrange for a personal tour, call 267-464-5038. 267-464-5038.
Supporting WHYY, Lantern Theatre Company presents The Hound of the Baskervilles, running through June 28th. One of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's most beloved Sherlock Holmes mysteries gets a zany makeover when performed by a trio of endearing clowns and klutzes. Cheeky and fast-paced, The Hound of the Baskervilles offers farcical surprises, brilliant theatrical invention, and a new twist on one of the greatest detective stories of all time. Tickets and information at lanterntheater.org.
Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. A veritable who's who of the nation's Republican Party notables will gather Thursday through Saturday in Philadelphia at the 2015 Northeast Republican Leadership Conference. Rob Gleason serves as chair of the Pennsylvania Republican Party and joins me now on Newsworks Tonight. Mr. Gleason, thanks for being here.
Pleased to be here.
Mr. Gleason, this is billed as the biggest Republican leadership event in all of 2015. What's on the agenda?
We have many of the presidential candidates coming to Philadelphia, headlined by Scott Walker, Chris Christie, Rick Santorum, Lindsey Graham. Carly Fiorina is coming in, and our national chairman, Reince Priebus, will be here. In addition, we are going to have attendees of over 500 people. And I also expect many elected officials from Pennsylvania to also join us.
Now, among those not in attendance, though, Florida Senator Marco Rubio and Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, were they invited?
Everybody has been invited, all 18 or 19 or 20 people who are candidates for the nomination for the Republican Party have been invited many times.
And with a crowd of 18 or 19 or 20 people, how does it get winnowed down? And is there a possibility that we could see the first brokered convention since, I think, 1976?
That's always a possibility. I'm not so sure it would happen. Today, with the electronic media, with the internet, with so many ways of reaching people, the chances of it getting stalemate and getting into the convention in Cleveland next August is probably remote.
Now, this is listed as the Northeast Regional Leadership Conference. Our region, as you know, is pretty blue-heavy in terms of states, and other than New Hampshire, there are no early primary states. Why do Republican aspirants want to spend time here?
Well, it's very important to come here for this reason. The debates have been set up, 7 or 8 debates we're going to have, and a lot of it is going to be based on polls in order to go to the major debate. And to come to Philadelphia, which is the 6th largest media market in the United States, this is a great chance for you to raise your numbers so that you are in the debates.
Though last year the Republican Party lost the governor's office in Pennsylvania, the first time an incumbent lost since two-term limits were imposed, do you feel that's an aberration? And if so, who's the next star of the Pennsylvania GOP?
We have plenty of people moving forward. We have 13 Republican congressmen. They represent each one 703,000 people. We have leaders in the House. We have leaders in the Senate. So we're developing a lot of candidates. And I expect for governor in the next cycle, there'll be many people who are going to vie for the nomination who feel that the current governor will be vulnerable. Also, the Democratic Party has struggled. Their attorney general has struggled. They have had a lot of problems in Philadelphia with 6 of their General Assembly people indicted and convicted. Some of them have been convicted. The state treasurer has resigned in disgrace. So I think our party is ready to say to the people of Pennsylvania, it's time for you to support the next president of the United States, and hopefully they will.
Also from the website for the conference, hundreds of conservative activists from across the country will gather. Describe the balance between seeking out the most conservative versus the most electable candidate.
I don't like to use the term conservative anymore. I like to use the term American, and I think that applies to all candidates for the national offices. We need a great American to be elected. Our party, we have, I feel, a pretty big tent, and we need to have plenty of moderates be supportive of our platform and of our candidates. We cannot win with just conservatives, as the Democrats cannot just win with liberals.
Mr. Gleason, I suspect that voters of all political stripes share in your wish that a great American be elected. Thanks so much for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Rob Gleason has served as chair of the Pennsylvania Republican Party for now the past 8-plus years. The 2015 Northeast Republican Leadership Conference takes place in Philadelphia Thursday through Saturday, and you can hear more of our conversation at newsworks.org. The artwork of John Lennon will be on display at a gallery at the Jersey Shore starting tomorrow. Ocean Galleries in Stone Harbor will feature drawings and cartoons by the former Beatle, as WHYY's Peter Crimmins reports.
John Lennon drew cartoons most of his life, but he couldn't get a foothold in the art world. He did have a show in London in 1970, but it was shut down by police because it featured erotic drawings. Other galleries would invite him to play guitar, but not show his work. His cartoons are quick, whimsical line sketches. His widow, Yoko Ono, says it would take him just a few minutes to make one.
So quick. Just the time that he can let the pencil go through it. So some people think that, then it's not a serious drawing, a serious artwork. I think that whether it took 2 years or 2 minutes, that's not what the quality of the work is decided by.
Shortly after Lennon was killed in 1980, Yoko Ono created a nonprofit to coordinate traveling exhibitions of his art. The proceeds benefit local charities. In the case of this show in Stone Harbor, it's the Community Food Bank of New Jersey. Right now, Ono has her own retrospective on view at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, showing her work from the 1960s when she was an upstart in the fringe avant-garde movement called Fluxus. Although promoting the art of her late husband almost 50 years later, Ono says she is less excited about seeing her own work from that period.
That's something that I would not have done if I was to do it. I wouldn't have done it.
Ono says she is working on new material she will be releasing soon, but she would not say if it will be music, visual art, or something else. I'm Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.
And there's more information on this and other arts and cultural events taking place this weekend on the Entertainment Guide. Check it out at newsworks.org/guide. Finally this evening, the world comes closer to resembling a science fiction novel in Camden County as police officials debut a new high-tech crime-fighting strategy. County police recently unveiled the Home Asset DNA Marketing Program, in which county residents can purchase a small bottle of re-engineered plant DNA to mark valuables. Should these items be stolen, police have the ability to shine an ultraviolet light on the burgled item to match it with its rightful owner. DNA kits are available to residents for about $70, and they can be used on up to 100 items. The program's been used by the Department of Defense as well as some private businesses, but Camden County is the first countywide implementation of the futuristic initiative. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov and Kimberly Haas. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.
Delaware Valley University supports WHYY. With DelVal's Master of Arts in Counseling Psychology, students develop the skills, knowledge, and clinical experience needed to work in the lives of others. Graduates are prepared to apply for the Pennsylvania Licensed Professional Counselor credential. A specialization in social justice or child and adolescent counseling can help make a difference in the community. More about a Delaware Valley University Master of Arts in Counseling Psychology is online at delval.edu/grad.
Natural Lands Trust supports WHYY and is hosting Friday Night Lights on July 10th. This celebration of moonlight, starlight, and firelight includes live music, beer from Victory Brewing Company, stargazing, and sunset socializing at the beautiful Cheslin Preserve in Unionville, Chester County. Details are available at natlands.org/Friday Night Lights. Natural Lands Trust. Land for life.